welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Off the Rails right here on A Cast of the Past. Usually, we sit down and we talk about a video game. We talk about a movie. Maybe we talk about life, but really, we talk about video games and movies. But every now and then, we decide to give somebody the floor to just ventilate, to just let it all out. And we're about to be doing that very, very soon because I'm Juan Velas. I am from Puerto Rico. I'm joined by Ryan McNulty from Boston, Massachusetts. And then we got the third man. We got the third man that rumors say he's about to unleash a load of information across the world.
I'm going to unleash the animal.
Keith Boschick from London, Ontario.
All of that's out of the way. Great. Follow, like us, social media.
Yeah, all that stuff.
All right. Subscribe, I got a bone to pick. You're done. I've got a bone to pick with y'all. So, as you know, if you've been listening, I've been away for a couple weeks. Had a series of unfortunate events.
I didn't know.
My hard drive crashed. It was a bad time. Had like a mild case of pneumonia. Another bad time.
Oof.
But y'all did a serious injustice while I was gone, and I am not happy about it. So now I am back. I am saying my piece. So
why the N64 was an S+ tier? Is that
yes? That we're getting to that. let me. It's glisten time. It's me speaky time. So Ryan, while I was gone, we did a little video ranking all of the Nintendo systems. I did a little write up. I think you guys did it justice. I agree with most of it, except for one system. I think you guys screwed up real bad, about the N64 being an S-tier system.
Why?
I guess spoilers for that video if you haven't seen it. You should have probably watched it.
Or audio. We are a podcast.
Or audio.
Keith.
Exactly. Why? The N64 is not an S-tier system, okay? It's got... Okay, so here's the part I'll give you. It's got the best games of all time. I can easily list off 10 of the best games of all time that happened on the N64. We're not ranking that. At least in my head, that wasn't all the criteria when it comes to it being a S-tier system. Like, you're telling me that the N64 is as good as the Super Nintendo. I can't buy that. Yes, there are great games on it. You know, maybe one day we'll get a Nintendo Classic or an N64 Classic. Who knows? But when you're ranking a system, you have to think about all the things that come with it, all the bad. Like, for all of those great games, they screwed up real bad with some things with the N64. Like, okay, if for the video version, switch to the three camera right now. Thank you. I want you both to look at me in the eye, look at these eyes, and tell me that an N64 memory card belongs in the S tier. That garbage block system that they have, that's an S tier console. No, you can't blink yet.
Damn.
I want you to look me in the eye and tell me that the N64 expansion pack was a good idea. That's an S tier system. The fact that you could only play half of a game like Perfect Dark without spending another $100 on a piece of square plastic. All of those things have to be taken into account. I am not discrediting games like Super Mario 64, Smash Brothers, No Mercy, one of my favorite games of all time. Great games, not on an S tier system. Y'all are wrong. You made an injustice.
It
now
was Ryan's
tell me.
Fault. I wanted to be an A rank, and then Ryan said S tier. I caved in. So, Ryan, what do you got to say about that?
What do you have to say about that, Ryan
McNulty from Boston, Massachusetts?
Well,
from what?
He butchered that. He butchered that. But that's okay.
I butchered that real bad.
Look, I think some things can help cover weaknesses of a system. Right? So when I think of the N64, is it perfect? No, but I consider S tier to be something that is of exceptional quality. And I think the library of games, although small, has so many iconic games in that library that it takes it to S tier for me. Yes, Super Nintendo has many iconic games in its own right, but that's why I also consider that S tier. The memory cards weren't the greatest thing, but there was also a great advantage.
Not the greatest thing. That's even giving them a little bit credit.
They were not
They're
the greatest
literal
thing,
dog
but
manure.
Mind you, unlike the PlayStation, there were some games you did not need a memory card to save. So it's not like you had to buy as many memory cards as you might had to have for a PlayStation.
And that's true. Expansion pack, but we're not at least ranking the best Nintendo and PlayStation consoles. We're ranking the best Nintendo consoles.
Yes, okay, so I'm just saying.
I gotta interject here. So Keith, when you think about any console, like let's forget that we're talking about Nintendo. Just when it comes to the PS1, N64, Super Nintendo, whatever it is, do you factor in the amount of great games, or is it the significance of the games? Because you know, when we were talking about that, I agreed, and I think we both agreed, that the N64 didn't have the largest library, but really, the great games that were there are not just great then, they're still great now. When looking back, even my favorite RPGs like Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9 on the PS1, great games, don't get me wrong, but visually, they don't really hold up. Whereas I think that the early 3D graphics in N64 surprisingly still does, because they didn't inspire to go for that realism, which Ryan even mentioned in that episode. So do you factor in that quantity versus quality?
I think you have to factor in a sample of the best games. Like, the fact, if there's only 10 good games versus 100 good games, if those 10 games made a huge impact, then I think it's equal to the 100 good games. And that's not a part I'm taking away from the system, because like I said, there's some of the best games of all time on there. It's just some of the poor choices that are around those games that really, it's not one of the best of all time, and it is definitely not on the same tier as the Super Nintendo. Something
to sort of agree with you, and I don't think we brought it up in the other one, is the price of the games. I mean, I'll never forget that Hey You Pikachu was like $100. Now, I know we're not talking about a great game there, but still, the point is that if you had an N64, the price range of games was insane. They could be anywhere from $50 to $100. Whereas with the PS1 and other consoles that were disc-based at that point.
PS1 was $40.
Going into a Future Shop. For all you Canadian listeners out there, remember Future Shop and buying WWF No Mercy for $100. Some of the game prices were insane.
So having said that...
Yeah, they were a lot. DK64 was like $80, but that did give you the expansion pack, which was very useful to have.
That is true. So how much do you factor in, I guess a question for both of you, let's remove the main console, like the physical hardware, and then go to the accessories, which would include like the controls, the accessories, like with the Dreamcast, for example, that controller, not the best, but then you add in the VMU, which had a visual screen, and even though the battery ran out constantly, it was still a very innovative thing. The fact that you could take some of the things from some games so you could use it as a memory card as well, and you could put two of them, which is still weird to think about. Then you think about the fact that the N64 and the GameCube, they had four ports as opposed to two ports on the PS1 and the PS2. You would have to buy a multi-tap. So those additional things outside from the physical hardware inside of the main console, do you guys factor that in when you think about the overall thing?
At the time, I didn't, but you make a good point. I mean, the four ports is a great upgrade from the Super Nintendo. I mean, would GoldenEye be the legendary game that it was without the four controller ports? And I really think it wouldn't be. So I'll put it this way. I think the game library itself is so iconic, so memorable, so powerful that it carries it to S tier for me. I know Keith doesn't think it's an S tier. I'm assuming he would put it at A tier. And
yes,
at the end of the day, would I lose any sleep over someone putting N64 in the A tier? No. But we did these types of things back in our wrestling podcast days. I knew if Keith was here, I was not getting N64 into S tier.
So what you're saying is you took advantage of Keith's absence,
Ryan. I was the ultimate opportunist and knew I could win that battle because Keith wasn't here, so I took advantage of the situation. That's
and
just
I can understand
the cold, hard facts.
And respect it. But as I was going back and listening to that, I was just shaking my head. And I almost appreciate the fact that you did what you did, because I probably would have done the same thing. But it's, if you're willing to admit that there's room for it to be a possible,
yes,
A, how about this is the ground we can agree on. It is A-tier system with S-tier games on it.
Yes.
Can we virtually
shake on? That's a good tagline.
I should have
been,
say that, yeah.
That should have been in the box. Maybe it wouldn't have worked out so well. But.
I don't know if that's good marketing, man.
Uh-huh. And yeah. As far as the accessories question goes, I think that you have to factor it in. If it's necessity to, or like if it's necessary to the experience, I think that you do have to put some weight behind it. To use an example, the multi-tap for the PS1, it wasn't necessary. Like I had a PS1 for... God, close to 10 years, and I never had a multi-tap. It wasn't something that you needed to have. Whereas if you look at something like an N64 memory card, there's a certain section of games, a large section of games that become unplayable if you have one of those hunks of junk. So if it's necessity, or if it's a necessity to the experience, I think you do have to factor it in a little bit. And that's what makes the N64 kind of fall apart for me, where it's a great system. The four ports were great, but everything around it was just a bad experience. And you do have to think of some of the bad games as well. I disagree that the graphics hold up today. I think it's really hard to go back and look at some of those early 3D polygon stuff, especially in a world where everything on it has been remastered to death. And you can just look at prettier versions of those games on other consoles. It kind of takes the shelf life out of it as well. There's a lot of things that you need to factor in.
That is very true. But in the topic of Nintendo as a whole, something that you brought up is, I feel like we talk about Apple when we figure out, hey, every year you got to get a new phone or something. But I think even before Apple, when you talk about electronics, Nintendo was the master of that. Whether it be from the original NES, we eventually got the evolution of the Dogbone controller. Maybe they would do a special variation of a color with the Game Boy Color. You know, we didn't talk about the handhelds. We'll eventually get to that. But think about how many things Nintendo has done throughout time. When you think about the Wii, you had the Wii Remote, but then you had Wii Remote Plus that you could buy an add-on for. But then they came out with the Remote Plus built into the remote. And then with the Wii, you could use the Wii Remote, but you could also use GameCube controls, which you could plug into that. But then you go to the Wii U, and then some games you can play with the gamepad, the Pro Controller, or the Wiimote. But then if you have Smash, all of a sudden, you can use the GameCube controller, which is a controller
from the Wii. You got to buy the GameCube adapter
exactly.
For the Wii U.
Yep.
Is that not insane?
Never let Nintendo forget about the Wii Vitality Sensor.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
There's a whole headache of compatibility charts with like Wii's and Wii U's and what controllers you could use and what you can't use. Like I was looking into, because I've been playing, I bought every Zelda game on the Wii U Virtual Console now, of course. And I was looking into, because I don't like the Pro Controller for N64 games, because the C buttons is like the right stick, and it's just not really accurate.
Oh, that would be weird.
Yeah, you're trying to do C left, C right. It's not super accurate. But there is a way to play use an N64 controller for the Wii U, and you need like a Wii controller with a certain adapter where I think you can use a USB one, but there might also be like a standard N64 like adapter to the Wiimote. It's some crazy stuff, but there's a way to do it, and I might
something
have
else that people
it.
Didn't even know. If you have a Wii and a Super Nintendo Classic, you can actually use the Super Nintendo Classic controller by plugging it to the Wiimote, and it will act out as a Pro Controller just without analog sticks and things like that. So that's how I've actually played a couple of games. I played the Sonic Tennis game on the Wii, and I was using a Super Nintendo controller. So I guess
there was that controller before, like the Pro Controller we all know today. There was that Wii controller that basically was a Super Nintendo controller. So it does make sense.
So it's weird though, because in a time where people always talk about backwards compatibility, we're kind of complaining about them overly supporting the past. I mean, the fact that for the Switch, you can use a GameCube controller for anything. You know, for the Wii U, you could only use the GameCube controller for Smash. I don't know if most people know this, but I actually own two GameCube controllers, and I have that plugged in. And as long as the GameCube controller has the right amount of buttons, you can use it for literally any game. So from tennis to Smash to anything. So it's this weird scenario where how come Nintendo just hasn't adapted like the Sony formula? You know, you look at Sony and yeah, they've made some revisions to the controllers, but they've kind of been the same. Nintendo goes, no, we're going to completely change things up. But at the same time, you can literally still use the other one. And it gets super confusing, especially when you get to the names. You know, Wii, Wii U, but then not everything is compatible, which leads me to the big question for you guys. From Nintendo, this is a subtopic from the Nintendo tier list, which everybody can check out right now. Which is your favorite Nintendo console controller?
I think it would be GameCube, personally. That just, it felt the best to me. I do appreciate the Switch like Pro controller version, not like the two Joy-Cons, but I think overall GameCube was really solid. It just felt really nice in your hand. I think there's a reason why people still demand that controller for Smash Brothers and things like that. That definitely was the best. Like Super Nintendo was great, but you really get used to those kind of like grip handles that are on the controllers nowadays, and you do really miss that when you go back and use like an old school Super Nintendo controller. N64 is all right, but it's when you play N64 games, you do really want that N64 controller. You do miss it then. But other than that, I wouldn't like elect to use it for non-N64 games.
Yeah, I think that's just more about the button layouts than anything. But I do have to agree with the GameCube controller. It just feels good in your hand. It's solid, especially the WaveBird. I know it's not, I don't think it's official Nintendo, but the WaveBird just feels so good. Was it official? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Just how it's got that little bit of lightness to it because it's wireless and just not having to deal with cords, but still having this nice tanky controller in your hands. It takes a little bit to get used to the button layout, I think, of the GameCube controller, especially with the big button and the little surrounding ones. But once you get your head wrapped around that, I do think it's Nintendo's best controller. It's the Super Nintendo is one of those things that I have fond memories of, but it's really tough to go back, especially not having an analog stick. I think analog sticks are something that we're spoiled by these days, and the lack of having one really shows if you're going back and using those old consoles.
Yeah, I cannot stand the whole nunchuck ordeal or even the Joy-Con thing of like holding two separate controllers without them being like connected. I hated the Wiimote nunchuck thing. Like even playing a game, like I only played a little bit of Mario Galaxy, but I disliked having to have those things separate. You really like that kind of foundation of them together. So when you really need to like mash a button or something, it just, you're able to have that like leverage. Having them separate, sure, like for something like Skyward Sword, it kind of worked because you were trying to like slash the nunchuck as the sword. But overall, I hated that disconnected feeling, and they really tried to force that on games like Mario Kart and stuff. And that using that joystick with the nunchuck, just, it never felt comfortable. Like just that resting
your
hand
to it.
Yeah, yeah. It just, it didn't like, yeah, it, I didn't, I was never comfortable with it.
Yeah, I gotta agree with the GameCube controller. Although I remember what people complain about the most is that it was really good for brawler type games like Smash, but then for fighting games, I remember I played Soul Calibur 2 because it had Link, right? So it was arguably the better version, but there was something weird about having the big button and then everything else around it. Although Nintendo kind of catered to their strengths, right? Most games, you technically use two main buttons and then everything else is kind of bonus unless you talk about a first-person shooter. So I guess it made sense, right? And then for better or worse, you guys talked about the N64 controller. I feel like Nintendo's the only company that makes a game tailor-made for its controller. You know, you can talk about a game that comes out on the PS4 or Xbox One. You can swap out controllers, and yeah, it's going to take like 5-10 minutes to adjust, but the layout is kind of the same. But then try to play, you know, WWF No Mercy with a PS4 controller. I tried to do that through emulation, and it just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't work because the fact that the Z button was on the back, but the analog stick was at the bottom.
Yeah, the Z buttons. I've tried it a lot because I have essentially a mimicked like PS, like PlayStation controller. And yeah, trying to map N64 controls, it just doesn't work because like you try and map some of like the triangle and like R1 to the C buttons, but you always get confused as to, oh, what's C left and what's C up, what's C right. You always kind of forget how you mapped it because, like I said, the stick, just using an analog stick for the C buttons, you're going to mess it up. You're going to try to do a C left and you're going to do a C down by accident. It's just always going to happen.
As that a human being true. With a USB N64 controller, I cannot agree more. It was worth it to go out and buy a PC N64 controller than to try and set it up on another thing. It's just, I don't know if it's because developers had to work around with what Nintendo gave them, or the fact that, like you said, Nintendo was just good at building something perfect for what they had. Just nothing maps right from that console.
That is very true. So, Keith, I'm going to close this off with a question for you, considering you were gone for a couple of weeks, and even though you were part of the conversations on the Discord, which people can join, castofthepast.com/Discord, if we were to do a follow-up on our favorite Super Nintendo, favorite GBA episodes, you know, now that we've ranked different Nintendo consoles, is there a particular console or handheld that you would like us to present, you know, whether it be from 5 to 1 or just, you know, 5 great games? Is there a particular console or handheld you would like to do, my friend?
You know, even though we kind of just shat on it, or at least I did for the beginning of this episode, I think a great one to do of that would be like an N64, of some of the best N64 games, because I will not take that away from it. It has the one of the best collections of games ever. Can't argue it. And that's the great, like, that's a great way to highlight what was good about the N64, why somebody like Ryan could agree that it's an S-tier console.
So this is actually going to be pretty cool. I went to a retro video game shop 2 weeks ago, and I interviewed the owner for my personal channel. Now, the interview is going to go up in Spanish, but I want to do a series showcasing different things in Puerto Rico. So
can you dub it and do different voices?
That would be amazing. That would be a lot of work, but I that would be amazing. But the one question that I asked him was, so what are people buying now? Because retro gaming always has its trends, right? I think that with the NES and the Super Nintendo, even he said, hey, that killed the market. Like, that killed off the need for getting your Final Fantasy games on the Super Nintendo because people just bought a classic and modded it. So he was telling me that he's getting these 11 to 15-year-old adolescents and kids going into the store to buy N64. And I began asking him, so, like, what are they buying? Because that's fascinating, right? It's the one console that we look back at and go, it's the weird controller. And yeah, maybe it does look muddy. Like, personally, I don't mind how it looks, but a lot of people are on your boat, Keith, which is like, no. So he was telling me, it's like, they're playing the Nintendo Switch and they want to figure out where things originated from. And for us, it's the Super Nintendo, but they see the Switch as a 3D device. So they go back and look at the first 3D Nintendo device. Henceforth, it's the Nintendo 64, which actually leads us to a future episode, because people, we're going to be sitting down in these comfortable chairs with these three microphones, and we are going to build our very own Nintendo 64. No, okay, Keith, do the thing.
Oh my God! Nintendo 64!
The classic.
The kid became a witch or something. I don't know what happened there, but
we're building a Nintendo 64 classic.
So if you're still here, that's going to be happening on a future episode. And you can definitely stay up to date by subscribing, whether it be on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And if you like these crazy conversations, I mean, Keith is back, so naturally it's going to be crazy. You can leave a 5-star review, especially on Facebook, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. It really goes a long way into helping. Ryan, you shook your head, so you close things off in the podcast by just Keith kick things off, kind of just punching you in the face. So here's your chance, and then just close it off.
You know, it's good to have you back, Keith, on this exciting episode of a cast
to the
past.
Keith, it was never the same without you.
I know.
Can't say whether that's bad or good. I'm just saying, it wasn't the same without you.
And it's good if it's not a tier list episode.
That's true.
That's true. We got to talk with this computer.